Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. This is episode 77 of Art Talk, and today I have a conversation with artist Agnes Komori. Agnes is, like me, a proud member of the VAA, which we both highly recommend, by the way.
Right? We do, indeed.
And she is an intuitive, visionary artist who paints the unseen world. Welcome, Agnes. I'm really happy to have you as my guest.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So I start with a quote. I did this at the beginning when I started my podcast. I used quotes of Leonardo da Vinci, one of my heroes. And I found one that I think would match your idea. Mm-hmm. So the eye is the window of the human body through which the soul views and enjoys the beauties of the world. Because of it, the soul is content in its human prison. And without it, this prison is its torment. Leonardo da Vinci. So my first question is, can you relate to what Leonardo da Vinci wrote?
Oh my God, so much so. And I think something similar is in the Bible as well. I don't want to quote it wrongly, but I'm pretty sure something like the eyes are like the lamp, and the brighter it is, when you feel full of light, then your eyes are lighter, and then it's darker when you've done something bad or something similar. I don't know the quote, but yes, I very much believe it. So I heard it first time when I was a child, definitely. It was almost like I could connect to it straight away, because even as a child, when I looked into people's eyes, you could sense it, because you're still, you know, you're very innocent. You could sense if someone has good intentions or not, right? Especially for us, like you and I, we are empaths, we could totally pick it up. And so also there were, I remember people who, oh, I can't even look into their eyes, but also the magic when you look into someone's eyes, and including animals as well. In fact, yesterday at the exhibition, I looked at someone brought in their little dog, tiny little dog. And I'm not kidding, the eyes of that little dog, the love, and I just spoke to that little dog, oh, you know, you are so loved, and thank you so much for being here, And we connected straight away. I love these energy exchanges. Yeah. So yes, very much so. I believe in that. Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Animals are close. They are in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And we can learn from that, because we are always rehashing the past and trying to find something in the future that isn't there.
Mm.
Well, but you were born a natural healer, and with your paintings, you can see what others do not see. Is what you paint healing because you let people see again, like the window of the soul? Mm-hmm. So the life in the human prison is bearable again. Is that the healing you mean when you paint?
Partly, yes, yes. But also it's the messages that I channel, which are sometimes they come across as really urgent messages that I need to then draw and paint. And they're mostly about unity, about inclusivity, togetherness, and no matter how sugary it sounds, but love. Love as in not just a romantic love, but love to another human being. And again, getting back to animals or plants, you know, anything living, even stones. I mean, I got my little stones.
I have them too. Yeah.
Because they have energy as well, obviously crystals, like as we know.
Yeah.
So in a way, yes. But I find when someone is maybe very much tormented, they would need time to understand, because they're so disconnected from the soul. And this is why, of course, they don't have the light in their eyes, right?
Yeah.
It was interesting to see at the recent exhibition how people connected with my art. And I love that from the elderly to the younger people as well, they just stood there and talk about it. That's just really rewarding when you experience that.
How do younger people, like children, react to your
younger? Sorry, not children, and that would be maybe that. Hopefully, that as well. But younger, as in compared to me.
Oh, so okay.
Early 20s.
I think
you know, like kind of uni students, kind of like.
Have you seen children react to your work, and how
That's a very good question. Actually, I don't think I have shown it to children, but now that I'm going to go home for Christmas, I make sure that within the family, maybe I'm going to show one or two. That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to
look back on that, Karen.
Yeah, because children are so honest.
Yes, they are.
And children are still at the roots, you know, and they are close to source. It's what I always say. So they feel that.
Mm. Having said that, if we can't, children, as in, they're kind of like teenager, 13 and 14, 15, they seen it and they liked it. So I suppose that's a good feedback already. But smaller children, I don't think I have shown them yet. But yeah, good tip.
It's always nice to know.
Yes.
I know, because I had my open weekend here and I had children.
Mm.
Six, one was about 9, 10, and one was 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they observe,
mm-hmm.
and were staring at the portraits and what they see. And then the oldest one, he stood there and he said, "Can I say something?" I said, "Yeah, of course."
Mm-hmm.
"You are really a good painter."
And yes, you are.
And it is just so, no, but they're so, you know, they wouldn't like it, they would say,
"Totally, absolutely,
hate it."
They're not sugarcoating, that is for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I love about children. So,
indeed. Yes. And they can totally sense our energy, can they? Whenever I'm out and about, children and dogs, they always come up to me. And we have this, like, little eye contact. I love that. And then we can just sense that, you know, connected on that level. Yeah. It's lovely. Mm.
Between the questions, a sub-question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, as an empath, also feel, because I have that, the energies of other people when you are around them or when they are around you? And when you can you feel when they have pain, for instance?
Yes, I do. I do. I even pick it up over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I speak to someone, you know, with the client or friends, of course, friends and family, obviously, because, you know, they're friends, but even like a relative stranger, or I can pick it up. And, you know, I actually had to learn how to shield myself, because after a while it can be, you know, we put on too much on ourselves
heavier.
Yep. And
Yeah, I know. I can relate.
In fact, now that you asked, I just had a long conversation over the weekend in the exhibition, a couple of conversations, in fact, where I picked it up and straight away I went in there. This is why you feel like that. This is what you need to do. Because I love motivating people. That's one of my things, especially creatives. And I think there's nothing worse when someone has the talent, the gift, and they're not using it. Right. So that's one of my life mission for sure, to motivate and to come on, you can do it. And, you know, this is why you were giving this gift. Use it.
Well, I think we are all creators and the creation is in our heart. That doesn't mean you need to be an artist as I'm an artist or you an artist. You can be creative in so many ways.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I think that's important. That needs to be encouraged.
Yes.
It isn't in the world right now.
Yes.
It's on the contrary. It is not encouraged at all. So,
yes, this is why you need to be in a place when you're surrounded by people. You need to make a conscious, but this is why I moved to London anyway.
Mm.
To surround myself with people. And I wanted to be with international people. I just, even though as a younger person, I felt that I need to be exposed to different cultures, different religions. I want to have this unity. I know, again, it's sorry if it sounds naive to anyone, but this is what I believe. Peace.
And it's not naive. No.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know if you know, but I made this series in 2022 and Black queer role models painting for unity, because if we do not, and the unity goes further than that, because we are the planet, we're not just connected with it, but we are the planet. going back to you and visionary, because when I read visionary, my first thought is a look in the possible future. But you paint, from what I've seen, about past lives. So how do these past lives help with the possible future? Because the future doesn't exist. The past has been, and we live in the now, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I do paint past life. I did a series on past life. Some of them are me in past life, in previous lives, which is like half fun, half not fun. So I deliberately made myself look a bit like, you know, like half silly. But it's true. They are all sort of my past life. We had so many, you and I, that's for sure. But because it's such a so much present in my life, I met with so many people that we straight away knew that this connection is past life related. It's for me, it's not a case of, oh, I need to like meditate and go back. It's just there. It's just this instant connection. And in terms of the visionary, the way I describe it for me, what it means is I'm able to access this other realm, and because I'm doing it for so long now, especially actually since the pandemic, because I could quiet my mind for the first time in many years, I developed the connection. No, because, you know, when you work and you know, in London, you do the commute, it's like really not good for sensitive souls like us. No. So since that was cut out and I had the quietness and, you know, the garden and I could be with my own thoughts, it just jumped up in terms of the quality and in terms of how quick I can connect and then see these visionary pictures. But also when I go out on my walk, I can just take pictures of nature. It could be the clouds, it could be trees. And then I create this visionary story. I can see the story. So I need to rush home and then I start to do so I remember it. Yeah. But sometimes they're changing, you know, that's their prerogative to change. They appear, so many souls, energies appear. And one of my rule is that I only allow good energies in. So if some spirit or they want to come across it and bit grumpy, then I make sure that I'm going to override your face and make it a smiley one, because you need to smile. Happiness. Yeah, so little things like
I love that. Yeah. I love that because I remember that I was in a course and the woman was standing in a house, but behind her were trees and I could see the spirit guides in the trees. I could see them. They were in the trees and I couldn't paint them because they were spirit guides. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let themselves be painted.
I understand. Yes. Not the
because they were not my spirit guides.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And we need to respect that totally. We can't
So,
you know,
but I saw it. She didn't see it.
Yes, but this
is weird.
I know. Because that's your reality.
Look.
Yeah, exactly. But this is it. This is it. This is why it's important that to make the conscious decision to surround yourself with people who understand, so you don't think that it's just you and you think that, oh my God, it's my imagination? No, it's not. And the more and more you talk about it, the more and more people come into your life. Yeah, I experienced it. It's a beautiful, beautiful feeling.
I think a lot of people experience things that they can't explain, but as soon as you talk about it, they have like, I think I also had something.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? Even like the most unexpected situations, such as, you know, I'm an Uber driver, we talk about it. And then just, you know, and then, you know, his face lightens up and then, yes, I experienced it as well. And that's amazing. You know, anywhere, it can happen anywhere, even in, you know, local Sainsbury's, whatever. I love it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm very intuitive. Mm-hmm. And when in flow, that's in my happy place in studio, I channel what I need to paint in a portrait, for instance. And afterward, I can look back and think, like, did I do that? And by the way, not only artists who has this, I know musicians who have this too. And I had this also when on stage giving a concert.
Yeah.
Can you explain to the listeners how your visionary or channeling works? You gave a little bit, just I see images and then I have to rush home to But how does it work? Is it something that just pops up, like with me? Are you in flow when it happens?
Oh, totally. I'm in flow. But there are two ways I'm doing it. So one of them is, for instance, this so-called, I call them urgent messages that I feel I need to capture. The other one is, let's say, if I'm doing a reading for someone, like doing energy cleansing, reading, and channeling their spirit guides, and then I do the artwork, then it's a much slower and much more conscious, kind of like a meditative state where I'm going in. So two different ways. But as I said, because it's so much part of my everyday life, I can't even imagine having even one day, you know, and they can appear anytime, you know, like I'm having a breakfast or a coffee and then, oh, so-and-so is here, okay. And there's a message, then I used to write by hand because I would feel that the energy is better.
But
sometimes, you know, the messages are so quick. Oh, I'll just open up my laptop and just quickly type it up.
Oh, God. Well, then you can type. I can't. I still do that with two fingers. So when I need... my pen is quicker. The morning pages are good for it.
Oh, yes.
Because then your brain is still in this alpha state and you start writing. I don't know if that works with you, but sometimes about situations also in the world, I can be so... Mm-hmm.